eyes closed, body relaxed from head to toe. Take slow deep breaths in and out. Slow deep breaths. Attention is on the Lord's presence within us as life, as consciousness. Sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastu mavidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om samasta jana kalyane niratam karunamayam namami chinmayam devam. Satgurum Brahma Vidvaram, Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Muninam Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayani Ambatvamanu Sandadhami Bhagavat Gite Bhavadveshini Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti Devyai Stavaihi Vedai Sangha Padakramo Panishadaihi Gayantiyam Samgaha Dhyanavasthita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyantiyam Yoginaha Yasyantam Navidutsura Suraganaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha Devaya Tasmai Namaha Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha Om Shri Sarasvatyai Namaha Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha So when Bhagwan Shri Krishna shows his Vishwarup, his cosmic form to Arjuna, what Arjuna sees, it's not like a movie, not where I am here and there is a 3D movie going on and I can see the whole universe. No, Arjuna himself is in it. He sees himself in that movie also. It's not that he's watching from outside. And so everything that he is seeing is the Lord. And I am not separate from it. I cannot be separate, just as in a dream, when I'm watching a dream, I am myself in it too. I myself am there in the forest and then a tiger is chasing me. And this is my regular example. And I run up a tree and I'm scared. So I am there, the forest is there, the tiger, the tree, the night, everything is there. So similarly, Arjuna sees this total form where he himself is in it too. And what Bhagwan Shri Krishna has done is he has removed this I and mind, space and time, everything has been removed. As we said, space is where he could see not only what was happening on earth, but what was happening in all the heavens, all the upper and higher and lower worlds, all the patal everywhere. And time also will talk about that today. So the point is that in spirituality, I have to dissolve I and mine and become one with the totality, because there is only one totality, only one consciousness, only one Bhagwan that is appearing as all of us. So they say, oh, how do I dissolve this I and my? You keep talking, dissolve your I and my. What do you mean by that? How can I do that? So Gurudev Swami Chinmayanandaji gives a very beautiful example in his teachings. He says, it's like you take a glass of water, right? A glass full of water, and you put 10 tablespoons of salt in that water, 10 tablespoons in that one glass. And then you taste it. Ah, it's terribly salty. It's so bad. How can anybody drink it? Say, okay, wait a minute. What do? You take that glass and you pour it into a bucket of water. Now what happens? It is less salty. Now you drink. Oh yeah, now it's not so bad, you know. And then you say, wait a minute. Now let's take the bucket and put it into a tub of water. What happens in a tub? You can barely taste that salt now, which was so strong. Now you can taste it. And then we say, okay, now we carry this tub and dissolve it in a lake, put it in a lake. Now, where is your salt? Can you find it? No. So similarly, you and I are so focused on me, myself, and I, my family. So our I and mine is very small. It's like in that glass. It is too much in that glass. So what do I do? From the glass, I put it in the bucket, put it in the tub. So that means from me and my family, I take it to me and my city, me and my state, me and my religion, you know. So you expand it. So now what happens? Now my I and my has become less strong. And then when you put it in the lake, that is, you dissolve it in the whole universe, that I am just a part of this entire universe. Then that I becomes weaker. And that is what that's what spirituality is, that do not think that A, you are alone or that you are doing anything. You are a small part of the totality, but you are a part of the totality. It's not that you are useless or anything. But there is a total consciousness, a wide power, universal power, all pervading, that is running everything, and where I am a small part, and I have been given a part, and I play my part without worrying about what is going to happen to me. No, what is not that important. What is important is, what am I going to give to this world to make this world a better place? That is called a true spirituality. And when I think of myself as a totality, I become much stronger, just as an individual brick, you know, has nothing, has no power. But 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 bricks put together make a strong house, you know, where even the wind comes, the cyclone, the hurricane, a brick house can last for 100 years. So similarly, you and I as an individual, we are limited. But when we say we are part of that totality and the whole totality is working through me, then I sink my individuality and I become more powerful. And what is very important is an attitude of surrender, which even we talked last week, that by myself, I can do nothing. Even to move my finger, I need God. God is there in everything. Whatever I speak, hear, smell, taste, touch, walk, talk, think, emote, everything is God is behind it. So constant acceptance of his presence does not mean I don't do what I have to do. Of course, I have to do what I have. If we didn't do it, then people would not attain enlightenment. If you just say, okay, I'm fine, God is doing everything, even to seek enlightenment, purushartha is required. I am required to put effort. I am required to do karma yoga, service, do some bhakti, get some knowledge, listen to the scriptures, meditate. So effort I can put in, but I have to constantly remember that my effort is because of a higher presence, because of whom I am accomplishing everything. So surrender and gratitude, that I'm thankful to God that to give me this opportunity to learn this Bhagavad Gita, give me this opportunity to discuss, give me this opportunity to progress. So constant gratitude to Lord and Guru. That's why even in Tattva Bodha, it starts with, you know, Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva Jnana Pradam Guru Mumuksha Nartham Hitarthaya Tattva Bodho Vidhiyate. So Shankaracharya ji starts by bowing to the Lord Sri Krishna and to his Guru Govinda Pada. Because of him, I am able to compose this text. So even a great master like Shankaracharya ji has this humility. So where are you and I? So we have to learn surrender and humility. These are two very important qualities. And third one is gratitude. So here, Bhagavan Sri Krishna started by showing all the beautiful forms of all the, you know, various ornaments and garlands and fragrances. And then slowly the scene is changing. And now we shall see a new, then a movie, it took a twist, took a turn. Suddenly everything was going fine. And then why this problem? Why the heroine and hero had a problem and everything was fine? They should have got married and lived happily after. Ye villain kahan se aa gaya? So let us see how this movie is changing. It's very, very beautiful. Shlokas, very powerful, kind of disturbing shlokas that we are doing today. So Satish Bhai will repeat chapter 11, verse number 25. Danstra karala nichate mukhani.
Danstra karala nichate mukhani.
Drishtvaiva kala nalasannibhani.
Drishtvaiva kala nalasannibhani.
Disho na jane nalabhe cha sharma.
Disho na jane nalabhe cha sharma.
Prasida devesha jagannivasa.
Prasida devesha jagannivasa.
You can mute all together. Danstra karala nichate mukhani drishtvaiva kala nalasannibhani disho na jane nalabhe cha sharma prasida devesha jagannivasa. Actually, these verses are supposed to be chanted even faster than this. Swamiji, if you listen to his CD, he goes very fast because there's a lot of material packed, but we are keeping a reasonable speed so all can keep up. So Damstra Karalani, Chate Mukhani, your mouth is, I can see this Damstra, these fangs, these teeth in your mouth. Your mouth is wide open and I can see these horrible looking teeth. You know, like a tiger or a lion, when they open their mouth, how do you see those fangs which can bite you? Those I am seeing, Arjuna says, in your mouth I see that scary teeth. Drishtva, having seen eva, what else am I seeing? Kala anala. Kala means time, anala means the fire of time, fire of pralaya, sannibhani, this blazing fire of time, of kala, I am seeing in your mouth with these terrible looking teeth. And what happens to me? Arjuna says, I, Bhagavan, I am gone. He says, Disho na jane. Disha, I don't know where I am. Disha means quarters. You know, I don't know whether I am looking east or west or north or south, whether it is your head or your body and your feet. Where is everything? He says, I have no idea. I am completely not lost. I have, like, suddenly when you are, you know, suddenly left in a new town. Nowadays, of course, we have GPS, but in the olden days, suddenly you are left somewhere and you have no sense of direction, you say, oh, how am I to go? Which is north, which is south? Then you go and try to, especially if there is fog. You know, I remember in Bakersfield in the olden days, in the 80s when we came, there was so much fog, you had to actually get down from your car and try to see the street names. So that was, he says, I am lost, like in a fog. I don't know what to think. I don't know where I am. And labhecha sharma, and I have no peace. My mind is so disturbed, he says. And what can we, an individual do in that situation when he's fearful? He has no peace. He has no direction. He's confused. There is only one thing he can do. He can do prayer. Bhagwan, proceed. Please be gracious upon me. Please be kind. Please be compassionate towards me, O Bhagwan. Deva Esha, Isha, you are the God of all the gods. You are the Supreme God. And Jagat Nivasa, Jagan Nivasa is Jagat Nivasa. That's the Sandhi rule. So the whole Nivasa means the whole universe is in you. Nivasa means you are the abode of the whole universe. The entire universe is in you. Jagat Nivasa also means in the Jagat, you take Nivasa. Means you are there in the whole world and the whole world is in you. So Jagat Nivasa can be studied in two ways. God is in the whole universe. All the whole universe is in God, which is one and the same, which means God is much bigger than the universe. If you say God is in the universe, then you are saying universe is big and God is in it. But the idea is that God is inside and outside. Both is that. So we already talked about Jagan Nivas. We talked about fire. And we talked about the Arjuna's confusion. Why? Because he just doesn't know what to do, what to think. And Gurudev in his commentary says, when an individual is faced with this power, the totality of the Lord, then his physical might, his emotional thinking, his emotional ideas, his intellectual thoughts all become useless. In that situation, there is nothing I can do. God alone is everything. And what happens? The ego drops. The unlimited individuality where I think I am doing it. So it says, God, I am nothing. I am nothing. Again, it does not mean that I should not do what I can do, but at the end of the day, we accept that there is a higher power. And so one has to have a constant attitude of prayer. Get up in the morning from the first thing in the your day before you start your day. Start with the prayer, with chanting the name of the Lord. When you go to bed at night, again chant whatever your mantra is. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, whatever it is. But get up with that mantra and sleep with that mantra. Why? Because that is the only thing that will hold us. And what Arjuna, that fire that he's seen is Kala Agni, the fire of time, because the fire of time consumes everything. Just as when there is a fire, the more wood you put, the more it grows bigger and bigger. And whatever you put in the fire is consumed. Like when we see the wildfires, you know, in Los Angeles and San Francisco, everything is consumed, all the homes, the trees, the animals, birds, whatever, the nests, everything is burnt. So that's what he says, Kalagni. That is also one of Lord Shiva's name, Kalagni Rudraya. So it is the terrible fire of time, Kalagni, which consumes everything. And that is true. Whatever is born is created to be perished. Right? Whatever came is going to be gone. Whatever is born is meant to. The day you are born, the clock starts ticking. Tick, 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 tick. Abhi, at the end of this class, 1 hour of your time will be gone. You're 1 hour close to death. You say, Are yaar, instead of listening to this class, I could have slept 1 hour more and enjoyed my sleep. Whatever it is, every hour, every minute, we are getting closer to death. But there is nothing to be afraid of. Because Bhagwan Shri Krishna started the second chapter telling Arjuna in the first few verses, avyakt adini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakt nidhanan yeva Tatra ka paridevana. He said, Arjuna, why are you crying and mourning? Oh, all these people will die. He says, what is birth and what is death? See, we were all unmanifest, right? Before we entered our mother's womb, we were avyakta, adini. And then, vyakta madhyani bharata. In the middle, I become vyakta. I become manifest. So I was unmanifest. Then I became manifest on this earth. And then I'm walking and functioning and all. And then what will happen? At the time of death, I'll become unmanifest. So I was unmanifest first. Then I became manifest on this earth. And then I'll become unmanifest. So what is to grieve about? That is the nature of everything. Every bird, animal, plant, fish, human being, even mountains, even rivers, everything was unmanifest. And then in Bhagavan's creation, they all became manifest. And then they will become unmanifest. So that is the nature of everything. So Tatra ka paridevana, what is there to grieve? Why are you so sad? We'll talk about grief again later on. But then he says, no, but Bhagwan, you told me, you know, I saw this beautiful form of yours. And I was thinking, you know, it will be beautiful. Why am I seeing this terrible form? So there's a very interesting, nice story about that. So there was this salesman who was very good in marketing, you know, the most successful salesman in his company. He became sales manager, was training other salesmen. So finally, but he had lived a nice life. So he died. And so he goes to Chitragupt. You can call Saint Peter, or Chitragupt is the one who keeps account of all of our. So he goes there and Chitragupt looks at his ledger and says, you know what? You have lived a fairly decent life. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a choice. Do you want to live in heaven or hell? So salesman says, let me look at it. Can I inspect both? Chitragupt says, sure, go ahead. So he looks around, he walks out of the door and there is heaven and looks very peaceful. Everybody's sitting quiet, meditating, and it's very peaceful. There is a gentle breeze blowing in the trees and it's very quiet and very peaceful. He says, let me go and check out hell. So Chitragupta says, okay, go out, press the elevator H, and that H-E-L-L down, and that will bring you to hell. So he goes in the elevator, presses hell, and the door of the elevator opens and he sees in hell, there is a huge table and people are sitting around the table laughing and telling jokes. Table is loaded with food and drinks, every kind of alcoholic drink, non-alcoholic, everything is there. These beautiful girls are serving and they are telling, you know, good and bad jokes. They are having a great time. So he says, "Arey yaar, yahan to people are having fun. You know, upstairs was boring. I mean, I know heaven is nice and all, but it's kind of dull. This is the life." So he closes the elevator, goes up to Chitragupta. He says, "I want hell." Chitragupta said, are you sure you want hell? He says, yes, yes, I'm convinced I want to stay in hell. He said, you'll be there for many, many years. He said, I know, I want hell. He says, okay. So Chitragupta says, okay. So he goes, the door of heaven closes. He gets back in the elevator, opens the elevator door, and what he finds, there is no table, there is no party, and people are being tortured. You know, somebody is being whipped and somebody is being dipped in hot oil. People are screaming and crying and blood and guts. What happened to all that party? So he sees devil walking by, you know, red with his horns and with his, you know, red spear. And he says, so Mr. Devil, can you please stop? He said, what's happened to all that party and table and all? Devil said, oh, that was marketing. Now is reality. That was the sales pitch. Now you are getting. So when we go to these spiritual classes, so what they do, they start you out with Ramayana and Mahabharata. I know Ramchandra ji, I know Bhagavan Sri Krishna, I know Bhagavat. That's good, you know, maja aa raha hai. So they will listen to Bhagavat Sapta and Ramayana and all. And then slowly they trap you. Once they see you are coming, then they give you the Upanishads, and then they give you the Brahma Sutras. You say, "Arey, 1 week, 2 weeks, I went to Upanishad class. Not one time they mentioned Sri Rama or Sri Krishna. What happened, Lord Shiva?" They say that was marketing. We wanted to get you into spirituality. Now you are here. Now you hear the real thing. Enough of theek hai, that is good, you know, bhakti and Rama, Rama and Mahabharat. But what we want to give you is the facts of life, who you are and what is your purpose. So that is the purpose of spirituality, to take us to the highest knowledge. That's what the Upanishads do. They don't leave us stuck at, you know, theek hai, you know, Puranas and all our stories. They are meant to bring us to this. And that's what this Bhagavad Gita is a beautiful link between the various paths and the highest knowledge. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, we have Karma Yoga, we have Bhakti, we have meditation, we have everything. And then ultimately the highest knowledge, which again, we'll see in more detail in the 12th and 13th chapter, the highest knowledge of the unmanifest, or what we call as the formless. So that is how we have to grow in spirituality. You cannot just stay at one level. You cannot say, "I just want to stay in high school." No, you have to go to college, do PhD. So that is how we are growing. So that is what is the essence of spirituality. We'll go to verse number 26. Amichatvam dhritarashtrasya putraha.
Amichatvam dhritarashtrasya putraha.
Sarve sahaiva vanipala sanghaihi.
Sarve sahaiva vanipala sanghaihi.
Bhishmo drona suta putrastathasau.
Bhishmo drona suta putrastathasau.
Sahasmadiyai rapiyodha mukhyaihi.
Sahasmadiyai rapiyodha mukhyaihi.
Together, amichatvam dhritarashtrasya putraha sarve sahaiva vanipala sanghaihi bhishmo drona suta putrastathasau sahasmadiyai rapiyodha mukhyaihi. So he says, ami, so these, what I am seeing in this mouth of yours, who is going in this mouth? So he says, everybody I see. First of all, tvam, and cha means and, tvam in your mouth. What I see, dhritarashtrasya putraha. Dhritarashtra was the father. His children, putraha, 100 sons he had, are the Kauravas. So first he says, I am seeing all the Kauravas going into your mouth. Sarve, all the 100 Kauravas, they are all gone. All, they are not going to survive. And Saha, and with them, Eva. So what them, who and is there? Avanipala, this is a very beautiful word. Avani means earth. See, that's why in Sanskrit, just for earth, there are 50, more than 50 words expressing earth, expressing, all these space has many words. So earth, like there is a Bhumi, there is, you know, Dharti and so on. So Avani is another beautiful word. Avani Pala means the kings of the earth. So he says, not only I see the 100 Kauravas, but all the other kings that have joined the Kauravas, the great kings of the earth, you know, all of them also are going. Sangaihi, the collection of all the kings of the earth, are going in with the Kauravas into this fire, Kalagni, the fire of your mouth, which is going to be the, you know, fate of all of us. And who am I seeing? So he notices three greatest warriors. See, in the Kaurava side, there were three warriors, Bhishma, Drona, and Sutaputra. Sutaputra is Karna. Sutaputra means the son of the charioteer. So these were the three greatest warriors, and each one of them was as good as or better than Arjuna. And so Bhishma was, of course, had Ichha Mrityu. He could die when he wanted. Drona was his teacher, and Karna actually, if you know the story, was his oldest brother, but his mother, he was born to his mother before marriage. And so she put him in the water, and he was adopted by a charioteer who found in the water this basket floating with Karna, with the little boy. But he was Arjuna's oldest brother, but he was as great a warrior. And Arjuna insults him as calling him Suta Putra, the son of charioteer, because Arjuna and Karna had a particular rivalry. Karna had pledged that in this war, I will either kill Arjuna or I will be killed. So they had a particular rivalry. Of course, those two were the greatest warriors. It's like the number one and number two in the world in 100 meters. You know, sometimes one wins and sometimes other wins. So when they come to the Olympics, they say, you know, this is the guy I need to beat. So that's why he calls him Suta Putra. So it's an insulting way of calling him, that he's the son of a charioteer. He doesn't even name him. And Saha, and with them, who else will be there? Asmadiyai, our warriors also. It's not only the Kaurava warriors are going to be destroyed, but large number of great warriors in the Pandava side will also be destroyed. Yodha Mukhyaihi, great kings, great warriors from both sides. And that's what happened after the Mahabharata war. The Kaurava army was completely destroyed. The Pandava army was to a great extent destroyed. Few Pandavas, the five brothers, were left, and some of their army. There was a wholesale destruction. So that's what he's seeing, that not only the Kauravas, but even our side. And there is a tremendous destruction. That's what Bhagwan says. I have appeared on this earth to carry out destruction. So what we have to understand is Bhagwan is not only Brahmaji, the creator, Vishnu Bhagwan, the sustainer, but also Lord Shiva, the annihilator. And we say, why is death required? Because if death is not there, the earth will become uninhabitable. If all our father, grandfather, great-grandfather, they're all alive, where is the space? There will not even be place to breathe. So there is a constant turnover. There has to be, you know, it is like a constant train. You know, you get on the train, and when you're station comes, you get off. And while you are on the train, you make friends with people, you share your food, you do whatever you can to be pleasant. And jab time aaya, okay, goodbye. You get off the train, get off the station. So they say, but you know, I want to live longer. 70, 80 years is not enough. You know, I want to do so much. There's so much more food I can eat, so many countries I have to travel, I have to buy more jewelry, I have to expand my company, I have three companies, I want to make five. 80 years is not enough. So they said, think about a monsoon moth. In India, they have these monsoon moths that appear in the monsoon, and they appear and their life is 2.5 hours. In 2.5 hours, they are born, they learn to fly, they mate, the females lay eggs, and they are gone. So for them, their calendar is how much? 2.5 hours. If they say, okay, mate a moth calendar, it will be from time to 2.5 hour chutti, gone. And they will, and if they are told, you know, there are certain beings called human beings that live for 80 years. Oh, 80 years. And my life is 2.5. Oh, they must be so powerful. They must be like God. It's all relative, you know. And so for us, you know, Bhagwan, like Brahmaji, his life is so many billions and billions of years. That is a day of Brahmaji. But that is also, Brahmaji's time also comes. When the creation ends, then everything merges into the unmanifest. Then Brahmaji also becomes unmanifest, and a new Brahmaji is created at the time of next creation. So this is not the first creation. That's which is not my first rodeo. And numerous times creation has happened, and the world is there, and it will go, and it will. It's anadi. That's why they say creation is anadi, is beginningless. When did creation start? We don't know. When did God start? Nobody knows, because God was always there. So even like our sun, Now, the sun's life is 10 billion years, our sun. It's already 6 billion years old. So we say sun is in middle aged. Why? Because out of 100 years of life, 60 years of the sun's life is gone. So 60 is middle aged. No, don't call 60 middle aged. I'm still young. If you call a 60-year-old middle aged, he'll fight with you. But the fact of the matter is, we are all in the 60s, 70s, jayenge. Everybody is going to go. So the sun also is 60 billion years old, 6 billion years old. After a while, it will go 7, 8, 9 billion. And then slowly the sun will start becoming weaker, just as when we go to our 80s and 90s, you become weaker. And then once the sun stops sending out the heat, the earth will become frozen. There will be no life on the solar system. Sun will become a black hole after 10 billion years, will become unmanifest. So that is the what happens to everybody. And that's what they say, space and time is what determines. What is this world? Space and time, Kala and space, Jaga, what is called. Come, space, or come and Kala. Those are the space and time determine. So what we see is that space and time, when they are no longer there, there is no world. Like in deep sleep, when I am in deep sleep, there is no space. I don't know where I am. I could be sleeping in a king's palace, or I could be sleeping on the roadside. You know, a person sleeping on the footpath in Bombay, or somebody sleeping in the Ambani's house. The deep sleep is the same, because there is no space and there is no time. So that's why they say, 8 hours passed, I didn't even know. And sometimes people oversleep, you know, the alarm goes off and they shut it off. So what it means is, in deep sleep, you go beyond space and time. And that is what Bhagwan Shri Krishna has done. He has removed space and he has removed time, so Arjuna can also see the future. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But for our understanding, suppose I every morning at 6 a.m. I get a list. Who all is going to die today? You know, suppose I get a list. So I look, first if I look, is my name there? Am I going to survive? Thank God I am there. Is my family, anybody from my family, my friends, we go through that. You know, it's like SSC. Suppose now some in SSC, if you remember, the results used to be published in the newspaper in the morning, right? But at night, the newspaper gets the list, you know, because it has to be published overnight. So if you know somebody in the newspaper, you can call and say, you know what? What is my rank? Am I getting 99% or am I getting 95% or 90%? If I was expecting 98 and I got 97, I get disappointed. But another guy, he was barely expecting to pass and he gets 36%. I'm so happy. At least I passed SSC. Now I can. So the point is that none of us knows when death will come. We are not given a list, but it is inevitable. It is unavoidable. So you have to accept birth as well as you accept death. Birth has to be celebrated and death also. It's nothing but just a cycle of life. That's what even in Lion King, he says, you know, cycle of life, or circle of life. He says, yeah, there was the my father was the king and one day I will be king. So then the king will die and a new king will come. That's why even in England, when the king dies, they say, you know, the king is dead, long live the king. Why? Because the king is gone, there will be a new king or a queen like we have. So they say, but how can I conquer death? I don't want to die. I want to conquer death. So masters all tell us there is one way to conquer death. They say, tell me, what is the way to conquer death? Muhammad says it very beautifully. He says, die before you die. What do you mean, die before I die? The explanation, I heard a very beautiful commentary. He says that, say you are walking on a deserted path and you are carrying all kinds of jewelry, you know, a lot of jewelry and wealth, and you have a bag full of gold, and And then the robber sees you. He said, ah, this is a good target. You know, you're walking at night alone in the jungle. He'll come with a gun or a knife and say, okay, give me all your wealth. He will take it and go away. But suppose you are walking on the same path and you are like a sadhu and you have nothing, just clothes and a little, you know, bag with your kamandal and little bag of, or you're wearing some simple clothes, beggarly clothes, and you have nothing and you are walking. The robber is not worth robbing this guy. Kuch fayda nahi, I'm not even going to get anything. Why should I risk? You know, like the story of, you know, Valmiki, if you remember that story where this robber tried to rob Naradji and found nothing. So what is the wealth that we carry with us, that we are holding on, that we don't want to let go, is all our selfish desires. When I have selfish desires, I want this house, I want this money, I want this dress, I want this mine and this and my family and my... So all these desires, excessive amount of desires, is all that baggage that we are carrying and we are holding on. You know, I have this, my 401k and my, not that one should not accumulate all that, I'm not saying that, but the excessive attachment, then death comes and says, aha, this guy has a lot of selfish desires. Let me capture him. And so death will take you. But if you have given up selfish desires and you have become one with that Lord of Supreme, and you say, for me, that alone is, yes, whatever I have is okay, but that is not my main purpose. Then what happens? Once you become one with that Lord, the totality, then death cannot rob you. Death can take away your body, but I don't have any selfish desires. I have nothing that belongs to me. Everything belongs to Bhagwan. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. We always sing that in the temple, but we should actually also do it. Whatever is there belongs to God. Let me offer it to him. So then death cannot take such a person. That's why Muhammad says, die before you die. What it means is die. Your ego should die before your body dies. This idea that I and my, that I am somebody special, that idea should go and God alone is, then death will not affect you. That's what Muhammad says, die before you die. Once your ego is gone, then this person becomes one with. That's why Jesus said, it is my Father in heaven who is doing everything. I am not doing anything. So all these great Mahatmas, all these great sages and saints, they had no sense of I and my. If you look at the life of anybody, whether it is Samarth Ramdas or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya Ji or Buddha or any of them, they all connected with the totality. That's why they are immortal. Death cannot take them. Even 5,000 years from now, people will remember Swami Chinmayananda, as long as there is a Chinmaya mission, Shankaracharya Ji, Buddha, all of these become immortal. Death cannot take them because they actually didn't have any ego. They became immortal. So that is what they say. That is how you can conquer death. If you want to conquer death, realize that you are deathless. My true nature is Atman, the consciousness. This body is bound to perish. My possessions I have to drop. If I don't leave them, death will take them away. But my immortal nature, Atman consciousness, nobody can take that. So I was never born and I will never die. Who is this I? Not this limited ego, this I that is Anil or Satish or Lata, but I that Atman, the consciousness. And that is what the message is from the Bhagavad Gita, that you never perish. Bhagavan starts second chapter with that exactly. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit. You are never born and you will never perish. Why? Because you are not this ego, you are that consciousness. So we'll go to verse number 27. The death is becoming more powerful. Vaktrani te twaramana vishanti.
Vaktrani te twaramana vishanti.
Danstra karala nibhayanakani.
Danstra karala nibhayanakani.
Kechid vilagna dashanantareshu.
chidvilagna dashanantareshu
sandrishyante churnitai ruttamangaihi
sandrishyante churnitai ruttamangaihi
together vaktrani te twaramana vishanti danstrakaralani bhayanakani kechid vilagna dashanantareshu sandrishyante churnitai ruttamangaihi. This verse is quite graphic, but we'll still cover it. Vaktrani. Vaktrani means in your mouth, mouths, in all the mouths. I'm seeing thousands and millions of mouths, all mouths. They twarmana. Twarmana means rapidly, fast. Vishanti, they are entering. And where are they entering? In your mouth, which is not only fire, but it is damshtrakaralani. They are these bhayanakani, these scary mouth with these huge teeth, sharp, you know, incisors, terrible looking teeth, and they are entering. And what am I seeing? He says, kechit, and some of them are stuck to your teeth. Dashan antareshu, but dashana means teeth, antareshu means between the teeth. They are stuck, they are dead, but they are not yet gone. They are stuck there. And then some others, some drishyante, and some others I can see, churnitaihi. Churnitaihi means crushed. You know what churna is, right? In Bombay, in India, we get churna, is this powder that is made by Hamdard and Himalaya and all these medicinal ingredients. They are crushed into. So he says, I see some people, churnitai, whose head, uttamangaihi. See, uttamangaihi is again a beautiful word. Anga means parts. Uttama means the highest part. So what is the highest part of the body? The head, right? That is the one that controls. So uttamanga means the head. See, Sanskrit, every word has a meaning. So he says, I see their heads crushed like churna. So some people are dead and they're hanging between your teeth. Some people's head is crushed like powder. So we say, oh God, why is he saying all that? But that is the fact. In the war, people don't die pleasantly. It's not like people come and pranam, come and please die. No, somebody's head gets crushed with a gada. Somebody's neck is slashed with a sword and blood is falling all over. Even in real life, when you go to a car accident, what do you see? Somebody's head is crushed. Somebody's neck is, you know, slashed. He's bleeding. And with the seat belt, and there's blood coming. So life is not all roses and, you know, violets. You know, they say roses are red, violets are blue. Life is not that. Life is a mixture of good and bad, joy and sorrow. That is life. Earth is that. Birth is that. Nobody's life is going to be perfect. So he says, I see all this, what is happening in this totality. And the point is, what Arjuna is seeing, he's seeing the future in a way, where he's seeing that all these soldiers of the Kaurava side are going to be dead, but the Pandava brothers, he doesn't see dying. And interestingly, Bhagwan, nowhere it is mentioned that he saw Abhimanyu dying, his own son, you know, that was the only child. Maybe if he had seen that, he probably wouldn't have been able to go through the war. So God in his compassion, they probably didn't show him that happening. But the point is that he says everything is going into you, and death is not going to be pleasant. But what Arjuna could see is he could select. He wants to see the future, he could see the future. He wants to see the past, he could see the past. He wants to see earth, he wants to see heaven. Whatever you want to see is available. Gurudev in his commentary says it's like the Gita book. I pick up and say, you know what? I have heard 9th chapter is very good. I'll read 9th. Then I will read 15th. Or then I will go to the first and start from the beginning. So similarly, Arjuna could see life as past, present, and future. And we are all in the grip of Kala. We are all in the grip of time. And eventually, time will prevail. Kala will prevail. So So what can I do then? What can I do? How should I live my life? They say, be nice. Be nice, be kind, be compassionate, don't intentionally hurt anybody, don't be rude, don't be mean. Try to be gentle, loving, and kind. And then what happens is that your life will be good, and maybe even your death, maybe. You know, some people say, I wish I could die. Just go to bed, have a heart attack, and never wake up. I don't want to be lying in the hospital or in a nursing home, paralyzed, you know, with a feeding tube and can't have no control and people changing my diaper. We don't have a choice. We don't know what's going to happen. All I have choice is the now, that I can do my best, do karmas the best, and then whatever is meant to happen, let it happen. Just accept everything. And everything will appear and disappear like waves appear from the ocean and merge back into the ocean. They don't have a choice. Similarly, you and I are like that wave. And we'll talk about the rivers in the next shloka. But it is said that when this Mahabharata war was going to happen, all the rishis that even had passed away, they were, or all those that were in meditation, all the great maharshis, all came in their subtle form to watch the Mahabharata war, because that was the greatest catastrophe of its time. It's like a nuclear bomb, like Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where so many, you know, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people died. So they're telling the rishis, why are you going to watch? Don't you know there's going to be horrible death and destruction? They say, yes, but that is also Leela. That is also a play of the Lord. That is also a game. And we want to watch that too, because that is as much a part of life as birth and sustenance. So that is the essence of this shloka, that everything will end and we don't know how we will die. We'll do verse number 28. I think that will be the last one today. Yatha nadinam bahavombu vegaha.
Yatha nadinam bahavo yuvetkaha.
Samudrameva bhimukha dravanti.
Samudrameva bhimukha dravanti.
Tatha tavami naraloka viraha.
Tatha tavami naraloka viraha.
Vishanti vaktranyabhivijvalanti.
Vishanti vaktranyabhivijvalanti.
Together. Yatha nadinam bahavombu vegaha samudrameva bhimukha dravanti tatha tavami naraloka viraha vishanti vaktranyabhivijvalanti. Yatha means just as. So in Sanskrit poetry, whenever the yatha comes, then tatha also has to come. Yatha means just as, and tatha means in the same way. So yatha, whenever they want to give an example in poetry, so this is used. Yatha nadinam. Nadinam means of all the rivers. Nadi is river, it's in all the languages. Nadinam, of all the rivers, bahava ambu vegaha. Bahava means many, ambu vegaha means these currents of water. Just the river is, what is river? Just rapid currents of water. Samudram eva, in the ocean alone, abhimukha dravanti, they enter the mouth of the ocean, right? Where does the river end? Merges into the ocean. It rapidly moves. And dravanti means running. So the river is rapidly running towards the ocean and ends in the ocean. So similarly, tatha eva, tatha tavami, in you, nara loka viraha. Loka means of all these people. Viraha, nara means of all the humans, the great warriors. All of them, vishanti, they also enter running where? Vaktrani, in all your mouths. And how are your mouths? Abhivijvalanti. Jvalanti means burning. Vijvalanti means blazing mouths of fire. All beings are entering into that. Just as rivers rapidly merge into the ocean, I see this. It was like this river of humans, because there were thousands of people who were going to die in the next 18 days. So Arjuna could see all the 18 days at one time. He said, I see thousands of people lining up just to enter. And which is true, every day people are dying. More and more people are dying. More and more people are being born. There are more being born than die. That's why the Earth's human population is increasing. But then we are destroying other species. We are cutting down plants and other animals and endangered so many, you know, species we have destroyed. So, you know, that is cycle of birth and death. What Gurudev says is that this chapter describes the beauty of Sanskrit poetry, and especially Bhagwan Sri Ved Vyasji, how beautifully he has taken poetry, like put this example of the river and compared it to death. And in everything he says, you see God's beauty, see God's glory. I think those of you who read Gurudev's commentary probably remember on this, he gives a short story. I'll cover it in brief. You can read it. But there was this beautiful prostitute sitting on the balcony of her house on the second floor, first floor, on the above the ground floor, the next floor. And this old saint comes and he's just staring at her for 2 hours. And she said, what's wrong with this guy? He's a monk. And why is he staring at me like that? What is, you know, he's too old even. So she tells a servant, go and call him. So he comes. So she bows down, touches his feet and says, Mahatmaji, why are you standing for 2 hours staring at me? He says, I wasn't staring at you. I was admiring the beauty of the creator who created such a beautiful girl, who has created so much beauty. So I was appreciating the creator in you, not I was physically attracted to your beauty. So the point is that everything that we see is the Lord. And the river's example is very, very powerful, because every one of us, where did we originate from? We originated from God, and we are going to merge back into God. Like, where does the river originate from? We say in the mountain. Yeah, but in the mountain, how did it come? As rain. Where did the rain come? From the ocean. The oceans evaporate, make water vapor, and then the wind takes it, and then it hits the mountain, and it cools down and falls as rain, and then rain becomes river. So river came from the ocean, unmanifest water vapor, became manifest as river, and then merges back into the ocean. That is the cycle of creation. We came from God. But what does the river do? As long as she is on earth, she serves. And the river is constantly serving, giving water to people, giving water to industries. All the animals can come, all the birds, all the crops, everything are nourished by the river. So while she is going through her journey, her life is a life of service. Any river, you look, even our dead bodies, it takes Gangaji, we put even our dead bodies in there. So the river's whole life is a life of service. She serves the world, and at the end, she merges into that. So same way, your and my life should be like a river's life. That whatever life I have, let me live a life of service. Let me live a life of helping others. And then ultimately, when it comes time, I merge back into the source. And what is the source? That is the ocean. That is the ocean of this compassion, the Lord himself. So that's why he says Karuna Sagar. That is one of Bhagwan's names, means he's the ocean of compassion. So that is the lot of every individual. But while we are here, we should live a life of spirituality. They say, why should we live a life of spirit? We find there is not. We find there is so much violence, so many weapons. You know, each country, they say that every minute more than $10 million are spent on buying guns by each country, you know, all the weapons and nuclear weapons. Not only that, in this country itself, there are more than 300 million guns. There's more than guns than there are people, you know, which I don't own guns. Yeah, but there are many people who own 10 guns, 20 guns. And so the point is that violence is increasing. You know, slightest problem they have, he takes a gun and just shoots the whole, in a mosque, or shoots in the Jewish synagogue. So violence is increasing. So they say, but you know what, if anyway I'm born from God and I'm going to merge back into God, then why should I bother about being spiritual? Masters say, you don't have any time. You're going, that life is going to end. Turn your mind towards spirituality. Now, why should I do that? What is the benefit? Either way, I'm going to go into God. That is true. But the manner how you're going to go and what's going to happen to you in the future will be determined by your life. So live a life of spirituality, live a life of service, and then God will be pleased. Then you will merge with God, and you can merge in this life itself. You don't need to wait for after death or where am I going to go. That's what the masters say. You are that spiritual master. You are that totality. Just accept that, understand that. So that is the essence of these four shlokas we did. We talked about life and death and what is the purpose of life, and how one can live one's life, and that this destruction is inevitable, but how can we make our life pleasant and make the life of people around us also better? So that is the essence of this verse. Again, we are not saying that you don't do your best. Even to attain enlightenment, you have to put effort, but always remember there is God behind me. And even last week, I think some of the people said, Moini Antiji said, Pankaj also said, that everything comes from God and God alone is the source. And so that should be the method of our study and our practice. So we have time. If anybody has any questions, comments, anything you agree, disagree.
I just have a comment.
Sure.
Anilji, you know, thank you for describing the beautiful illustration of the salt and river. That was very good. I really enjoyed it. Salt dissolving in the water,
yes,
and then
yes,
in the river.
Yes, yes.
That really helped me understand how we tend to always elevate our ego in different situations. But I also wanted to add that by increasing our ego, whether through selfish means or whether through separateness, we're also courting death, you know, inviting death, as opposed to, let's say, you know, increasing family values or increasing community values or increasing, like you said, through nation, by service. In that sense, we're actually fostering a relationship and not inviting death. And I also got that out of the shlokas.
That's good. Thank you.
I did have a question regarding the very first shloka that you did today. What is pralaya fires?
And pralaya fire. Pralaya fire means the fire of pralaya means that is the end of the whole earth. What they call is in the Bible as the 40 days of rain. You know, what is the exact word? I forgot, but. Pralaya means where the whole universe will end. So everything will burn in that fire of destruction. Pralaya means the end of the entire creation, not only humans, but the entire creation. That is pralaya.
Okay, thank you.
And fire, of course, means, you know, everything will be consumed in that fire of destruction. Nothing will be left. This entire universe will be gone. And then in the unmanifest, and then again will appear. In become manifest again. So
Om Natatra Suryo Bhati Nachandra Tarakam Nema Vidyuto Bhati Kuto Yagni Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam Tasya Bhasha Sarvam Idam Vibhati. Om Shri Chin
Chinmaya Sadguru
Arati Shri Chinmaya Sadguru Ki Divya Rupa Murati Karuna Ki Arati Sadguru Ki चरणों में उनके शांति समाए शरणागत की भ्रांति मिटाए पाप ताप संताप हरण की आरती से चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की वेद उपनिषद गीत को गाया धर्म सनातन फिर से जगाया सिद्ध दीप्ति पीठ शंकर की आरती श्री चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की सिद्ध वाणी की तपो भूमि में नित्य विराजे गुरु हमारे भक्त हृदय आनंद सोत की आनंद चिन्मय सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की आरती सद्गुरु की
बोलिए श्री कृष्ण चंद्र भगवान की जय श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय Okay, you can do the Kaya Navacha. Go ahead. Take the RT.
Kaya Navacha Manasendriyeva Budhyat Manavat Prakrutre Svabhavat Karomi Atyat Satam Parashme Narayanayeti Samarpayami Shri Narayanayeti Samarpayami ओम सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु मा कश्चित् दुःख भाग् भवेत् ओम अस्तु मा सद्गमय तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय मृत्युर्मा मृतंगमय ओम शांति शांति शांतिः हरिः ओम श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम